Before we get started, if anyone has a cell phone on, we would appreciate it if you put it on silent. The meeting's being audio taped and videotaped, and we need to keep that doorway open, so either wait in the hallway or find a seat. There are some around, but the doorway has to remain clear. Y'all ready?
Yep. Just a reminder for any liquor license holder or a representative of any liquor license holder, the renewals for your liquor licenses are due tomorrow. If you have any issues on how to do that, just either call the office, email, or come in and someone can help you out on how to do that. Thank you.
And if anyone is here for the application by John Pugh for a special noise variance, that has been continued to December 13th. It's the meeting of the Cambridge License Commission. It's Wednesday, November 29th, 2017. We're in the Michael J. Lombardi Building, 831 Mass Ave, Basement Conference Room. Before you, the Commissioners, Chair Nicole Moratti Ferrer, Acting Fire Chief Gerard Mahoney, and Commissioner Branville Bard. It's 3:05 p.m. The first matter is the application from Market Square Jewelers Incorporated has applied for a secondhand goods license at 1156 Mass Ave.
Market Square Jewelers? Now please come on up, sir, and please take a seat up here. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. One other thing. For anyone that's appearing in a hearing, if you could fill out the notice of appearance form so that we could have your names properly spelled for the record. If you're someone from the public that wants to receive a notification on a hearing, please fill that out too. Attorneys, please fill it out so that we can have a proper place to send the stuff to. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
It's Peter T. Henry, P-E-T-E-R, middle name is T-A-R-R, Tar, last name is H-E-N-R-Y, Henry.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. And you are the owner of Market Square Jewelers, Inc.?
That's correct.
Is there a DBA, a proposed DBA of doing business as for this?
No, Market Square Jewelers, all the stores, that's its name.
And that was going to be my next question. This isn't your first secondhand goods store, is that correct?
No, this is our fifth store. We're in Portland, Maine, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, Newburyport, Mass., Dover, New Hampshire. I was born and brought up around Boston, so.
So you are very well aware of the that you have to keep registries, you can't accept stuff from minors, the amount of time that you have to hold everything?
Absolutely, yeah. Whatever the laws are here, they may be different than our other stores, but we try to adhere to whatever the local regulations are. We scan everything that we buy on a scanning machine, so we have full proof of everything that we're buying secondhand. And I just have a policy, I don't know whether it's legal or not, that we don't buy from anybody under 21. It's just my policy. I don't know what our community has to say on that.
Yeah, well, here in Massachusetts, the state law says that you can't accept anything from a minor. You can't buy from a minor.
Sure, yeah.
Perfect.
No problem.
Okay, and your proposed hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.?
That's correct. Yeah, okay. Well, or 5 p.m., maybe on Friday and Saturday night, 6 p.m., we'll see.
Okay.
It's an adventure.
Any questions?
Yeah, one question.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, I would vote to grant.
Granted.
Thank you.
Application, Super Target Liquor of Massachusetts Incorporated, doing business as Target, has applied to transfer the wine and malt package store license at 321 Broadway, held by Germit Corporation, doing business as 7-Eleven. Applicant has also applied for a change of location to 564 Mass Ave. Danielle Bean is proposed manager of record of a premise described as first floor and basement space consisting of 19,813 square feet, 5 entrances and 5 exits. Proposed hours of operation are 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. Sunday.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Yes, my name is Joe Devlin. I'm an attorney with offices in Newburyport and Boston, and I represent Super Target Liquor of Massachusetts. It's D-E-V-L-I-N.
Thank you.
We will submit the forms. I was trying to fill them out for them, and I was not that fast.
No.
Well, with me is Danielle Bean. She's the proposed manager of record. She's the store team leader, which is how they refer to their general managers at the store. Ted Marsh is the district team leader, so he covers, he manages several stores, and of this is one of them, like the area director. And Jonathan Livingston is the team leader for asset protection, and again, a regional district team leader, so he covers several stores.
Okay, thank you.
Pleases the chair, I can explain
sure.
the application for you. I even brought a poster board, which is, I usually bring the stand, but I can't set it up, so I've decided just to stop trying to bring it. But this is the floor, ground floor, when you walk into Target. And their proposed location for the alcohol is beer along here.
I'm sorry.
So the doorway is here.
Okay.
From the street.
So beer right now where you have like the coolers with the milk and
where
stuff.
Where the orange juice is in that
okay.
far corner.
So the
yeah.
beer, the warm beer would be here. Then there's five coolers, excuse me. That would be also cold beer and cold wine. And then this aisle right here is wine. Thing about Target is, I tell this story, they're not trying to corner the market on alcohol in Cambridge. They can only sell so much of it. So I went into the Wilmington store unannounced, and that was this will be their fifth location. I went to the Wilmington store unannounced, and the store team leader there brought me right back to and we were very far away from even filing an application, and we didn't have a plan yet. And he brought me right to where the alcohol was, and it's essentially two inside aisles and then 5 to 8 coolers, and that's the limit of what they sell. They are really trying to target their customers and the convenience of their customers. As I said, this would be their fifth. They've got a couple of wine and malts and a couple of all alcohols in Everett, Boston, around the Fenway, Wilmington, and Watertown is the most recent. Danielle started and helped open the Fenway location, so she's had experience with alcohol sales in Massachusetts. They will sell things like Heineken, but they do have unique offerings because of their buying power. It's a multinational, you know, one of the largest retailers in the world. For instance, Cupcake, which is pretty popular, you know, good tasting, economical wine now, started at Target. Vineyards will beta test at Targets. This would be their fifth. But a couple years ago, they hadn't had any locations in Massachusetts, so it was strange for people to be like, oh, Target wants alcohol. Probably 3/4 of their locations, about 1,600, have some sort of alcohol sales across the country. So in other parts of the country, people are used to having alcohol in Targets, and that's what they're striving for, and that's what the Wilmington store team leader told me. He said, we want to put it in the same place if we can, next to the same goods, in Tulsa or California or here. So it's a really precise organization. Jonathan can speak a little bit more to this, but they have state-of-the-art technology for security. They have a full-time asset protection person there. There will be an asset protection person at that store for every hour it's open, or there is, actually.
For the record, what would be the asset protection person? Is this like a security person?
Yes. So they have full-time staff there, plus they have cameras that go back to a central location. All of the staff will be TIPS trained, including Danielle. They usually do it in the store so the TIPS trainer can say, you know, this is a problem over here, you might want to, you know, move this around or change that. They like to do it within the place where they're going to be selling. Their technology, they 100% proofing. They have to scan the ID through the point of sale. If it doesn't scan, they can't make the sale. If you don't have an ID, they can't make the sale. If you're under 18, it won't even let alcohol go through that point of sale. So you have to check in when you get on shift. And if you're under 18, alcohol can't come through your aisle.
Meaning the employee.
Correct.
Yeah.
And in off hours, this store is open 8 to 11, so probably the only off hours they're going to have on Sunday you know, from 8 to 10. They rope off the alcohol sales, the alcohol itself. They put up signage that say no sales until 10 o'clock. And then none of the point of sale systems will let the alcohol run through.
Is the rope off sufficient?
I was going to say, especially in working in the Fenway store, it was definitely helpful. And then the fact that the point of sale will not actually allow us to have a transaction was the final step in that point.
Okay. They haven't had an issue yet.
When you say rope off, I mean, what typically do they, I know in some, what I would call traditional grocery stores that sell beer and wine, they actually have almost like a cage system that closes off the entire aisle. What will you be having?
This isn't a cage system. It's simply a stanchion system that we put up with signing to let people know that they can't go beyond that area and touch that product.
Is there an ability to walk the coolers, the beer coolers?
There is
just
not.
Just asking.
No,
they don't have that.
No.
There are obviously some things that they can do. It's to greater expense than and they haven't had a problem with it. Again, they not only do they have the asset protection person there. They train all their floor staff to be conscious of when alcohol can be sold and who should be around that area. So, you know, Jonathan?
Yeah, I mean, from the assets protection side of things, there's a uniformed person typically that you see as soon as you walk into the store that they're present. There's also plainclothes individuals there that are more focused on external, you know, shoplifting piece. And then you also have a leader of that team. So those three positions exist. And then, again, you also have the camera system, which is also monitored by headquarters. So you've got multiple layers of checks and balances before that individual even makes it into that area.
And then one last thing. Back here is the storage. And they're going to have a locked storage unit right here. So that's what's worked in their other locations. They haven't had any problem. There's a camera on the storage system, too, to make sure that none of their employees, not that any of their employees would do that, but to make sure none of the employees come in as well. Danielle has worked for Target for 10 years?
13.
13 years. And she has had progressive levels of supervisor experience, culminating with being a store team leader. She also, as I said, helped open up Fenway. She will be TIP certified. You're not currently TIP certified, are you?
Not currently.
Okay. So they will be, she will be TIP certified. That can be a condition before the license is issued. Just one last thing. The sellers are here. It's the 7-Eleven. It's about 3 to 4 tenths of a mile away. And it's their wine and malt license, and Sellers Council is also present, Kevin Crane.
Okay. The point of sales, the self-service point of sales, I know in the Watertown store it doesn't allow for people to buy the alcohol through those. Will that be the same here?
Correct. Yeah. The software doesn't allow it.
And Councilor, just to make it crystal clear for us, other than for, you know, sort of making Target uniform across the country, what would be the public need for this license at this location?
A couple things. First of all, it's the convenience of their customers, and this is something that their customers do ask for, who are from the Cambridge area. Also, they do bring a unique not only a unique variety of wine, but a unique price point. So it's a better quality of wine for a price that fits into their customer niche. So, you know, mom looking to get some groceries to do a dinner party and also can grab a couple of bottles of wine. So, they do bring some unique products that they were on Oprah's. They have this wine cube that's where they beta test, these vineyards beta test a lot of their new product. And that was on Oprah's, when Oprah still had the show on her favorite things. So it brings a really good, unique product to it, too. But they're largely responding to customer requests. And part of that is, hey, I got this at that other Target in Wilmington. Why can't I get that here?
Thank you. And Ms. Bean, I know that your attorney mentioned that you have had experience with the Fenway, but you've never been the manager of record on a liquor license before, correct?
I was not the manager of record. No, I was the operations manager in that store, so part of my responsibility was to oversee the alcohol department, including, you know, making sure we're keeping up with any regulations and laws.
So are you familiar with the rules and regulations of this board, the ABCC, and the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regard to the sale and service of alcohol?
Very much so, yes.
And do you understand that we expect to stay up to date with those rules, laws, and regulations?
Yes.
Out of chair, it sounds like you said that before.
Just a few times.
Once or twice.
Now, I am a little concerned, I must say, about the rope-off. And I'm trying to remember, but I really can't. I've been looking at renewals all day today, so I can't remember if it's a rule that we have in our rules that it has to be more than a rope-off, or if it's an ABCC guideline, or if it was an old Boston rule. So I would hold off on maybe, I mean, I will say that when we vote on this matter, I would probably say that I will hold off on maybe putting a condition that it has to be something other than rope-off to verify that the rope-off is sufficient, and depending on what my commissioners say, but the rope-off is a little concerning to me. I don't know that it's enough.
Could we cover it and maybe lock the coolers? That might, like, take it out of sight. In Boston, I think it was custom and practice that, starting with the Stop and Shop down around the Fenway,
yeah.
But that wasn't required and hasn't been required in a while, at least for the Target, you know, it was not one of the requirements.
Yeah.
That you bring down the gated.
Yeah, and I sort of remember it on the, it's not Shaw's anymore, it's a supermarket, Star Market or something.
That's the Star Market, I'm sorry, not Stop
and
Shop. Yeah,
that's
what
and
it was.
And
you're right.
They were, you know, gates had to be put in, so yeah. I just want to look at that.
Shaw's on Malone Street has gates that.
Yeah, yeah, so that's the only thing. And you guys are not planning on selling NIPS, are you?
No.
No.
Trader Joe's didn't have.
Okay. It's swimming in my head. I just can't remember where from. Do you guys have any questions?
I think you covered the pertinent.
I have nothing.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. So I would vote to grant, and then I'll just I'll bring it back in terms of whether or not. I would suggest a condition as to something other than roping off during our next meeting, which hopefully by then, December 6th, I'll have time to look at it, but it won't stop the process from sending this up to the ABCC.
I agree.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. Granted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll figure out something. Thank you. I appreciate
thank
you.
Thank
you.
Do
you mind? Do you guys have to fill out all these things?
Okay.
Thank you.
Application Season to Taste Catering LLC, doing business as Noka Provisions, holder of a common victualler license at 156 Fringe Avenue, has applied to N. White and Malt Beverages at said address. Evan Capps is proposed manager of record of a premise described as approximately 2,040 square foot single story brick building with entrance fronting Ringe Ave and egress in rear, seating capacity of 20 with a maximum occupancy of 25, hours of operation of food service 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. 7 days per week, alcohol service 8 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Sunday.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the Commission. For the record, Attorney Sean Hope, Hope Legal Law Offices, SEANHOPE. On behalf of Season to Taste Catering LLC, DBA Noka Provisions, I have to have here tonight the manager of the LLC, Mr. Robert Harris, and also the proposed manager, Evan Capps. Do you want to spell your name for the record?
Yeah, it's Robert, R-O-B-E-R-T, Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S.
My name's Evan, E-B-A-N, Capps, K-A-P-S.
Thank you. K-A-A or just one A?
Just one.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So this is an existing location that is a restaurant that's been open for approximately 6 months. In February, a common vicular license was approved by this commission, and they've been operating dinner service at that time. This is actually Mr. Harris's third venture in Cambridge. He has a catering license with a full alcohol license. He also has the table on Mass Ave in North Cambridge where he had a beer and wine. And so this is now further into the North Cambridge area, but deeper into the other side of Mass Ave, offering a restaurant offerings. And the idea is this is a local neighborhood restaurant. Over the past 6 months, although he has had people that have been interested in his food, there's been a growing desire to have wine and beer along with in the dinner menu. In support of this, we have a series of petitions that have been signed by members of the neighborhood and patrons. Also, there is a neighborhood group, the North Cambridge Stabilization Committee. We went before that group several months ago and presented the menu and the idea about a beer and wine, being sensitive to the fact that it's adjacent to a neighborhood and also to a church that's nearby. We had gotten support and sign off by all the butters and the church as well, in support of Mr. Harris. One, he's known to the community. Two, the idea is that there has been a requested need for the type of food that Mr. Harris offers, and that the wine and beer would be a complement to the specific menu that he's offering there. And Mr. Captain, is there any questions about his experience?
And I do note we did get in the file there was already the multiple signatures from a lot of people, patrons, I'm assuming, that went there. Do you have anything else? Because I know you mentioned, those are the ones you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And I do know that we got an email from Councillor Craig Kelly, although I think the way that he wrote it, he's speaking as a neighbor. So either way, his support is also in there, just for the record. Mr. Capps, why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience?
Sure. So I've been working for Robert for the past 2 years as a manager at the restaurant, The Table, where Robert's the manager of record there, but I did a lot of the beer and wine ordering and kind of oversaw the floor there and having any issues. And then before that, I worked at Craigie on Main for almost 4 years. And I was a manager for about two of those. And then that's all my restaurant experience. So
you're familiar with the rules and regulations of this board, DABCC, and the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regard to the sale and service of alcohol?
Yes, I am.
And do you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with those rules, laws, and regulations?
Yes.
Are you TIPS certified or 21 proof or anything at this time?
I am TIPS certified, yeah.
And I noticed that in the petitions that that you guys put out for your customer, it said that you would also be extending your hours until 9:30, but your CBU was granted until 9:30. So the proposed closing hour for the alcohol and this would be 9:30.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yep.
I just didn't know if it was a typo here or.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Madam Chair, too. On the application, there was a request to have the alcohol service start at 8 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
and well, we talked before this, and I think that was an error, and so we actually would like the alcohol service to start at 12 p.m.
Okay.
There was not a need to serve alcohol at 8 a.m.
Including Saturday and Sundays for brunch?
The Sunday hours were 10 a.m., and so that was for brunch, so that would remain. It's just the Monday through Saturday, we had
okay.
8 a.m.
Oh, I see. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Question?
Is the restaurant occupy the entire building? I know that was two occupancies in the past.
Right now it just occupies one space. The second space has been vacated, and we're taking over that space, and we're going to use that side for storage.
So you're currently in what was the barber shop?
Exactly, yeah.
On the corner of, okay.
That's right.
Which used to be a bakery many years ago.
That's right, yeah.
Ms. Capps, when you spoke of your previous experience, I didn't get, you said on Main, you said a place on Main. Where was that?
Oh, it's Craigie on Main.
Craigie on Main.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. I would vote to grant with hours of operation of For the CB, 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. 7 days a week. For the alcohol, 12 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Sunday.
Concur.
Okay, granted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Application La Dolce Vita Cafe Incorporated, doing business as Bomb Cafe, has applied for a common victualer license at 1093 Cambridge Street with a seating capacity of 24 and proposed hours of 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days per week. Priscilla Trancoso is proposed manager of record of a premise described as approximately 900 square feet on the first floor with counter, kitchen, restroom, one entrance, and two exits.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
B-R-I-C-I-L-A, last name Trancoso, T as in Thomas, R-A-N-C-O-S-O.
Thank you. And can you tell us what Bomb Cafe would be?
Bomb Cafe is a coffee shop. I keep the same bill as owner.
Oh, you're keeping it sort of the same way?
Yeah, everything's the same.
Is the menu the same? Because I know that you gave us the proposed menu. Is that the same menu or?
The same.
Okay. Portuguese style, basically, cafe? Or
a little bit?
Yes.
Some in more Italian and,
some linguiça?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a Portuguese, Portugal, right? Linguiça, yeah.
Okay. And then the hours are staying the same as well, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then, do you know how many seats? Would it be 24 seats?
Yes.
That we proposed?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're not doing any build outs or anything, everything for the kitchen and everything staying the same?
No, it's I already remodeling.
Okay.
But just for better.
Okay.
But nothing different.
Thank you. Question?
No.
And I know for the record that we have a letter in support of this application from Councilor Tim Toomey. Anyone else in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, I propose a grant.
Concur.
Granted. Thank you.
Application Whole Heart Provisions LLC, doing business as Whole Heart Provisions, has applied for a common victualer license at 300 Mass Ave with a seating capacity of 37 inside, 22 outside seasonal patio seats on private property and an occupancy of 67. Proposed hours of 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Sunday. James DeSabatino was proposed manager of record of the premise described as one floor, approximately 1,750 square feet, two bathrooms, prep kitchen, food service line, dining room, and seasonal patio on private property.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Sure. I'm James DeSabatino. DeSabatino, D-I-S-A-B-A-T-I-N-O.
Thank you.
I'm Megan Goodwin, M-E-G-H-A-N-G-O-O-D-W-I-N.
Sorry, did you say the H there?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. All right, so why don't you tell us what the concept of Whole Heart Provisions is?
Sure. So when Whole Heart Provisions opens, we'll be the only vegan restaurant in Central Square. So basically what we do is our chef and my partner, who couldn't be here today, Rebecca, she previously worked at Cambridge restaurants like Alden and Harlow and then in Somerville, like Sarma. And the idea is to just take really fresh local vegetables and pair them with amazing spices from all over the place and create really healthy, flavorful food that's really fast.
And so are you also planning to be open for dinner?
Yeah, so actually in our application we applied to be open 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. And since we submitted the application, the landlord has asked if there's a potential to do breakfast. So I guess I'm asking if there's a potential to
what would be the time that you guys
from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Okay. All right. And would this be your first venture?
This is, so Whole Heart Provisions has a location in Allston as well.
Oh, so it's so this is the famous one, and is that on the corner of? Oh God, what's that street?
It's Cambridge Street.
Cambridge.
Right now.
Okay, yeah. And you took over. What was the name of the place
that was
there?
Before.
Huh?
Root.
Okay. Yeah, I remember. Okay, so it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And the patio is in the private property. It's 67 people for the patio.
No. The patio is smaller, so we have
22.
Seating for 22.
I'm looking at the total occupancy.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Excellent. Okay, questions?
I have one question. So it says seating capacity of 37, 22.
Doesn't add up. It doesn't add up.
So I included employees as well.
Okay.
I wasn't sure.
Okay.
So when you say total occupancy, are you also counting the seasonal patio people?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll subtract the 6. Okay. So it's 45. So
yeah.
Basically, 37 inside with a total capacity of inside for 45.
Correct.
And 22 outside.
Right.
All right. Got it. Okay. Any other questions?
No. Okay.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. So I would vote to grant with hours of operation of 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. with a capacity of 37 seats inside, 22 seats outside, and a total occupancy of inside of 45. Yes? Is my math right?
That's correct.
Okay. Granted?
Granted.
Application, Fresh Pond Auto Sales Incorporated has applied for used car dealer class 2 license at 307 Fresh Pond Parkway. Eddie Lackis is the post manager of record.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. My card for the record.
Thank you. Please state and spell your names for the
Thank
record.
Thank you. My name is Ted Regnante. I'm an attorney at 401 Edgewater Place in Wakefield, Massachusetts, and I represent the petitioner. With me to my right is my associate, Jesse Shoma, who prepared the application and has some renderings to show you. Hans Strout, who was the architect, and Eddie Lockers, who was the owner, and all of the offices in the corporation that's applying for the Class 2 license.
Thank you. So before we continue, did you, I need spellings on your last name because I have no idea how
I'm
to
sorry.
Spell them.
It's Regnante, that's Regnante.
Okay, great. Thank you. And Jesse?
It's JESSESCHOMER.
And Eddie?
Okay.
Sir, first name Eddie, and last name Lakkis.
Thank you.
Hans Hans Straut, Straucch. Sounds
Thank
like the United Nations.
Thank you very much. Go ahead, Counselor.
So let me review. The application with you and the premises. This, of course, is for a Class 2 used auto license. The tax lot is 26076, which is 307 Fresh Pond Parkway in Cambridge at the intersection of Fresh Pond Parkway and Vassal Lane, and Jesse is showing you that location in relationship to the existing properties. The lot is 13,909 square feet with an existing restaurant that has not been used and frankly is a terrible, terrible eyesore to the neighborhood. And there's a parking lot associated with it. That building, as we'll talk about, and the architect is going to go into it in more detail, will be rebuilt so that terrible eyesore will be removed for a very attractive new building. You'll see the exterior in a minute and the interior layout. The property is in an existing business A zone, so used auto sales are allowed as a matter of right. And we do have, as part of the application, the sign-off, the zoning sign-off. We have been issued, we spent a great deal of time with the city with regard to designing this building. We worked probably 3 or 4 months on this with the building department, and we have been issued a building permit for the property, so all that is in line. The Eddie's family is the fifth generation family to own and operate automotive businesses in the city of Cambridge. They have existing facilities as well as, and this is very important, adjacent to the site, Abe's Auto Service on the Fresh Pond Parkway, which his dad operates a service business on that site. So that one of the important things that I know you look at is whether or not the applicant has the capacity to repair vehicles. So we have that, and again, it's a related business. It's that business is run by his dad, Eli. Eddie is going to be the person completely in charge of the new business. He's worked with his father for many years. They acquired this property at 307 Fresh Pond Parkway in 2014, and as I indicated, their intent is to rebuild the existing facility and convert it into an automotive showroom where the used cars will be displayed inside, not outside. The parking spaces outside will, of course, be for employees and customers. We're going to be restriping the existing parking lot, installing bicycle parking, something the city requested us to do, adding extensive landscaping and decorative screening fences around the property to make it more attractive to the neighbors in the area. The Eddie will operate the used car business as president of the corporation that we filed, Fresh Pond Auto Sales, Inc. That corporation will enter into a lease with EMJR, who owns the property, and EMJR is a related entity. It's the family business that owns the real estate. But we have a five-year lease with 2 5-year additional options to extend. So we have control of the property under the lease. And we will have a permanent and ongoing service contract with Abe's Auto Service, even though it's related, but we'll have that under contract. Unlike many used car sales businesses that operate on open lots, we'll have this beautifully newly constructed building with the showroom, and we'll have, of course, the service next door to address any issues. I think that's basically it. I think what I'd like to do is have the architect talk a little bit about the building, because in the event that there are people here in the audience from the area, I think they'd be interested in starting the first one.
And just for the record, the proposed hours are Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sunday, noon to 6 p.m.
Which is consistent with automobile dealerships in general. And by the way, there is a dealership right in that area. There's the Honda dealership, which I know you're familiar with. So let me turn it over to Hans, and Hans, will you talk about the area, will you talk about the building itself, the exterior, the interior, and the site layout?
Counselor, before you start,
a quick question. As he was describing it, as Counselor was describing it, he said the restaurant building would be removed, and then at one point he said rebuilt. So is it being incorporated into the new structure, or is it being raised?
Actually, good question. What's going to happen is that the foundation of the existing building, the actual footprint, will be replicated, and its height will be replicated. So basically, the volume that is on the site right now will be the same volume that we will create.
Okay. But the existing structure is being raised.
There are elements of the existing structure that we may be able to reuse, but it's all going to be code compliant and will be reviewed in our construction. But we have received a building permit under the law.
What may be retained is part of the structural elements of the building, but the outside, which Hans will review,
So you're all obviously very familiar with the property. It's a pretty ugly property. Just so you know, we were the architects for this building down here, which is 355 Fresh Pond Parkway, which has the Bank of America at one end, and that's probably why the family hired us to help them. It's not the Taj Mahal. It's just a very ugly building, and we are trying to clean up the property and make it look very presentable. On the parkway itself. It was subject to the requirements of the overlay district and the zoning regarding how the design would evolve. So, in any case, what we're planning to do, as I have mentioned, is we're replicating the volume of the building that exists now, putting in large glass transparent windows, obviously to allow transparency from the street into the use, and then putting up new metal panels, sort of more of a high-tech system of metal panels that you would associate with automotive use on the outside of the building. One thing that you don't see on this drawing, which was requested, which we will be doing, requested by community development, was to add awnings at the two entrances, one here toward the street side and the other on the side of the
building. Awnings, you said?
Yes, just little sort of fabric awnings to give some life. We will have exterior lighting for safety and to mark the entrances as well. And then as far as the overall organization of the area, which is right now all pavement and in disarray, we will be putting in new trees along the street. One of the requests of the community was to widen the sidewalk. Apparently, bicyclists and people come back and forth here on their way to Fresh Pond itself. So we have widened the sidewalk using sort of a cobblestone, nice landscape edging. I think it was about 18 inches or so, or 2 feet. I'd have to look at the drawings. But in any case, we've widened it. Now we have lighting off the building, as well as freestanding lights to light the parking lot for safety, and we are 100% handicapped accessible at both entrances to the building.
The parking spaces outside, these are going to be for, you said, employees and customers, so all the used cars will be
inside
the building?
Correct, yes.
How many cars can fit inside?
How many cars do you think there would be inside?
Whatever the layout would allow after construction, I'm assuming around 2025.
This is what it looks like now. So basically, we're trying to clean up an eyesore with the use that's allowed by zoning. To a certain extent, that's what we did at the corner where the old fish market used to be, and created a very nice retail building at that end. We expect that this building will also be equally presentable.
And the lighting in the parking lot, is that going to be overhead light? What kind of lighting?
Zero cutoff type lighting. It was reviewed as part of our application to the building department. They were very particular about it. So it's not going to be in the neighbor's eyes. It's a specific kind of what's called zero cutoff lighting, and we did display in our drawings the proper lumens you know, for safety purposes throughout the parking lot.
So there'll be no overspill across the property?
Okay.
Will the building be sprinkled? It'll be sprinkled. Sprinkled, yes. It'll be reviewed. It has been reviewed by the fire department for the permit.
One thing that I did neglect to mention, under Chapter 140, Section 59, it's a requirement that the business be the principal business, his principal business, which will be, Eddie will devote full time to this business.
Okay. And Mr. Lackis, you have experience with the used car dealers, correct?
Yes.
And so you're aware of all your duties under the law?
Yes.
And also your bond requirements for this type of license?
Yes.
Jesse, did I leave anything out on the application?
The only thing I would add, Madam Chair, is that we do have a copy of the premises to file, and we also have proof of service of the mailings to abutters.
Excellent. Thank you. You can just swing those over to Elizabeth, and she can give them to us. Thank you. Do you have any other questions?
I don't.
I actually do. So you state that all the vehicles that will be for sale will be inside the building.
Correct.
So if a customer comes in and is interested in purchasing a vehicle and wants to test drive a vehicle, how are you going to handle that?
There will be an overhead door facing the parking lot, about 12, 14 feet.
Right. There's, the building, we have the facade drawings, but there's an overhead door right here, so the cars come in and out at this location. So I'm gonna from a business standpoint, somebody comes in and they want to test drive the vehicle that's the furthest from that overhead door. Now, what are you gonna do?
Well, position. The layout inside will always be accessible for any vehicle to make it out without having to move more than one car.
Okay. Second question. So your family runs or owns the brick building that's immediately adjacent to this property?
Correct.
And the gas, the mobile station as well?
Correct.
And that is one of the key issues in any consideration of a Class 2 license is the availability of those services.
Any discussions with Cambridge Honda?
There will be no opposition. There will definitely be no opposition.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think you've answered everything. Thank you.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition?
I'm not necessarily one or the other, but I do have some questions. May I?
Sure. Yeah. If you could please state your name for the record.
I'm Jan Devereaux. I'm a city councilor, but I'm here in my capacity as a very near neighbor who is very familiar with the site. I'm certainly extremely appreciative of the bonus to us all. I do have some concerns about assurances that it will be run in compliance with this Class 2 license based on my lived in the neighborhood since 1999 and the auto repair next door doesn't necessarily follow all of the rules that they're supposed to follow. Cars are routinely parked on the grass, and these are cars that are, I'm assuming, being offered for sale because they're sort of vintage, you know, cars that are there on a regular basis. They're parked on the grass. Auto parts and junk are stored behind the garage in a very haphazard way. If you go into the Tobin parking lot and you look through the fence with a sort of green plastic screen, you can see a whole bunch of junk all the time. It's not neat, not tidy, and I don't believe that's in compliance with the existing license. The parking lot, for the past couple of years, the parking lot at this property has been used we've been told for employee parking, and I do see employees coming early in the morning when I'm out walking my dog, but cars are there overnight. Their cars in various states of disrepair. Some of them were there for months at a time, have flat tires, clearly aren't moving. So I'm kind of wondering where all those cars are going to go, because it's clearly been very convenient for the businesses next door to have this additional lot to store junky cars or cars that are awaiting repair next door. It would seem to me fairly fundamental for someone operating a business where the car sales are required to happen indoor to have a firm idea of how many cars that facility can fit and how they will be able to get in and out. It's not a huge building. 25 cars seems like a lot, but I'm not an architect, so I don't see in any of these drawings any sort of layout that would show how those cars are going to get in and out and navigate structural supports, areas that are cut out for, you know, the salesperson to do the paperwork, all of that. So I guess I have, I mean, on paper, it sounds certainly like an improvement, but I am concerned about compliance. I am very concerned about lighting. Ranjit can tell you that we are in currently in some discussions with Cambridge Honda about lighting that they installed that has pretty egregious light pollution. Concerns about security, I think, are overstated. I am not aware of any car thefts in this neighborhood. It's a residential neighborhood. The idea of having lights on all night to me seems unnecessary, and you know, it's a very high-profile area in terms of being directly across from Fresh Pond Reservation. It's and next door to the school. So I would want to see a very firm understanding of that they understand their responsibilities in this license, and that there will be enforcement so that it doesn't become another case where the neighbors are forced to complain about non-compliance. I mean, it's pretty natural. Cambridge Honda has had constant sign violations. It's like whack-a-mole. There are, you know, all of the cars have banners on them. There are lots of temporary banners that are there for months on end. It, you know, it looks junky, and that is not in line with what the zoning says. So it is as of right, but only if it's the letter of the law is followed. So those are my reservations. I do certainly appreciate that they're trying to improve this, and it's been a huge sore spot in the neighborhood for many, many years to have this building in the condition it is. The fence, they put up a temporary fence several years ago. It's, you know, it's a dreadful eyesore, so something needs to change, and I hope this will be an improvement, but I guess I'm somewhat skeptical, but thank you.
Thank you.
May I respond to that?
Yeah, and just for the record, the we don't license the repair shop. We don't issue that type of license. But I would want Mr. Lackis to tell us what steps are you going to take to make sure that that parking lot is being just used by your employees and customers.
It will be just but used by employees and customers.
I know, but what steps are you going to take to make sure that that happens?
We'll put signs up. We'll reinforce it. We'll have an attendant, as we already do. We have an attendant always walking the parking lot. We'll make sure his supervision will extend out to that parking lot.
And Councilor, go ahead. I'm sorry.
First of all, I appreciate your comments very much. And what I have done in the past in other comparable situations has offered my services that if there is a particular problem, I'll give you my card, you call me, and I'm happy to sit down with you and work out whatever the issues are. So I offer that to you as an intermediary to address your concerns on an ongoing basis. But we do appreciate the comments that you've made. The other thing that I have done and I don't know, this is frankly my first time before you folks, but I do quite a bit of this work. One of the things that I have done in the past is suggest that is part of the approval, if you were so inclined to grant this, is to have a provision for continuing jurisdiction. So you would have, it would state right in the permit, continuing jurisdiction. So if there was an issue, we'd have to come back in front of you and confront that issue.
Well, since we issue the license, we have continuing jurisdiction.
Yeah. But I usually put it as something that, you know, the...
I mean, you can tell your client that we have continuing jurisdiction, right. But under the law, we have continuing
right.
jurisdiction if we issue the license, and the license has to be renewed every year
right.
In accordance with the law, and obviously if there are any violations of any rules or any laws relating to your license, we can certainly bring you in for a hearing, and we would if we were to grant the license. I think what Councillor Devereaux expressed are a variety of issues, some of which also don't really fall under us. They fall under zoning and building, and I'm hoping and assuming that they would be addressing those, like the lighting and the type of the structure. And I'm assuming that you don't know the exact amount of cars because you haven't finished building the building.
Right.
But you would have an idea, a firm idea of the number of buildings once the building's done, right. correct?
So what was the square footage?
The building is approximately a little over 6,000 square feet.
I would say there's no way you can put 20 motor vehicles in 6,000 square feet.
I would say it's likely there will be less than that. Yeah.
I think you'd be doing well to have maybe 10 vehicles in 6,000 square feet.
I'm not running the place. Eddie is running the place.
And I don't have in front of me the building code, which I think, not certain, but I think would identify what the allotment would be by square footage.
Right.
I think.
Would it be
certain.
Helpful if we submitted a sketch, that Hans prepared of a proposed layout, interior layout of the parking? Of the cars?
I think any submittal is helpful in any type of situation.
Sure.
And I think you actually submitted, the showroom, you said where the offices would be,
that's
and
correct.
Everything else. I just don't think
there.
That many cars are in the,
yeah.
I mean, you submitted a bunch of...
There were plans.
So you're gonna have, I mean, there's going to be, I assume there's, whether it, as Councilor Devereaux mentioned, whether you call them workstations or offices, I assume there'll be restrooms.
Yes, they're shown there. Yeah.
Does that building have a basement, or is it built on slab?
Slab.
Anyone else? Okay. So,
you guys ready to vote?
Okay. So I would vote to grant this license. I would put a condition on the license that the 11 parking spaces in the exterior are only for the use of employees and customers of this business, and that there can be no overnight parking.
Great. agree?
I would agree with that, but I would actually like to add an additional condition that the petitioner obtain clarification, whether it's from the building code official in the city or through an engineer with respect to the state building code, with the number of vehicles allowed in accordance with the square footage of the showroom. So that we have a very clear number going forward, how many vehicles will be allowed in the building.
Okay.
And I'm not certain, to be on the record, I am not certain that it's specified in the state building code. I think it is, but I'm not 100% certain.
We're happy to respond.
Okay.
So the condition would be compliance with the state building code and other applicable regulations with regard to the to the interior layout of the parking. I think that's highly appropriate.
Yep.
Okay, so with those two conditions granted?
Granted. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cancellation matter, TT The Bears Place Incorporated, doing business as TT The Bears. Holder of a common victualer, all alcohol license at 18 Brookline Street, pursuant to Mass General Laws, Chapter 138, Section 77, for non-use of license.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Sure. Attorney Tim Courtney, C-O-U-R-T-N-E-Y.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, now. I'm sorry again for the record. Thank you.
Kim Courtney, C-O-U-R-T-N-E-Y.
Thank you. And Ms. Courtney, you're here representing TT The Bears and Ms.
Bonnie Boulay.
Thank you. And can you tell us, since the last hearing, what efforts have been made to put the license in use?
So I have a statement I'd like to read, if that's okay.
If you can answer the questions first, and then you can read the statement, yes.
To put the license in use?
Yes.
I don't believe she's expressed to you that she was attempting to put the license in use.
So she has made no efforts to put the license in use?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. And we have a letter from Bernard Chaudhry as to an offer that was made to purchase the license from Ms. Boulay. Do you have any information on that?
I'm sorry, which letter are you referring to?
So I have a couple of letters from him.
Are these recent letters?
No.
Oh.
So we have the letter from August 4th. In which Mr. Chaudhry says that they offered to purchase the license for $35,000. Do you know if she has accepted that offer?
She has not accepted that offer.
Okay. But the offer was made, as stated in Mr. Chaudhry's letter?
I believe so, yes. I wasn't participating in that.
You can read your statement now. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I am Attorney Kim Courtney, here today on behalf of Bonnie Boulay and TT The Bears Place. Ms. Boulay is unable to attend, and she has asked me to speak on her behalf today. We are here today to discuss the potential revocation of Ms. Boulay's liquor license solely because of wrongful acts by this license commission. TT The Bears Place was a well-loved music venue in business in Cambridge for over 40 years. Ms. Boulay is a well-respected business owner who has contributed profoundly to the Cambridge community. Despite all that she contributed and all her hard work over more than 40 years, This commission has treated her grossly unfairly, caused her to lose hundreds of thousands of dollars that she relied upon for her retirement. In 2016, when this commission removed regulations from its books that it acknowledged were against state law, the commission knew that the city had perpetrated a fraud upon the public and liquor license holders like Ms. Boulay, yet did nothing to remedy the harm. For more than three decades, this commission tried to cover up the fact that in 1981, the city had lifted the quota for liquor licenses. The commission created illegal regulations that manipulated the market for liquor licenses outside the scope of its legal authority. If Ms. Boulay had known the truth sooner, she would have taken different actions with her liquor license and would not be facing this loss today. The commission has spent the past year trying to convince liquor license holders that there is still a market for liquor licenses, although brokers are unwilling to get involved with these transactions because they don't want to participate in the city's fraud. On top of all this, after granting Ms. Boulay an additional 6 months to decide what to do with her liquor license, this commission placed her on the agenda numerous times, which appeared to be merely for the purpose of harassing her into selling her license to her former landlord for an unreasonable amount. This behavior is shocking. The License Commission knows that it is not legally allowed to interfere with private business negotiations. I am here today to ask the Commission to buy back Ms. Boulay's liquor license. For the market value at the time she closed her business in 2015, which was $250,000. I ask for a response from the Commission to this very reasonable request by the renewal deadline of November 30th, which is tomorrow. I have personally attended most of the License Commission hearings for the past 3 years, more than any commissioner sitting before me. As a resident and attorney in Cambridge, I am astounded by the outrageous behavior that I have witnessed. Now that the public is finally aware of the Commission's fraud, thanks in part to recent articles by the Boston Globe and Cambridge Day, it is time to do the right thing by ending the scheme, holding those responsible accountable, and compensating my client, Ms. Boulay, for your wrongful actions. Thank you.
Do you want to give that to us so that we can make it part of the record?
I can email it to you.
Okay, no, that's fine.
I wrote on it.
No problem. Just asking. Questions? Do you have any other testimony to provide today?
No.
Okay. You ready to vote?
I'm sorry, will there be public testimony?
Well, if you're presenting testimony.
No, I mean, are you going to ask the public if they would like to speak?
We don't usually ask the public about cancellation hearings, but if anyone wants to speak on the issue, we're not going to tell them no. Anyone want to speak on this issue? Okay. So with that said,
Actually, Corey, you know, I do. I'd like to say something.
If you could please state your name for the record.
Sure. My name is Caroline Enright. CaroLineEnright.
Thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Enright.
Why is the city of Cambridge treating trees better than a small business owner? You guys are just ridiculous sitting up there. And the fact that you're not doing anything about it is really, that's actually the crime, that you're not doing anything about it. Over and over and over again, you've got to be accountable. You've got to make somebody accountable for wrong actions.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Thank you. Anyone else? So with that said, I would vote to cancel the license based on the same way that I voted after January. I incorporate our statement of January 11th, and I would vote the same way that I voted after our last hearing of May 24, 2017, which was to cancel the license. I would also say that I deny that this commission has engaged in any fraudulent acts, and with regard to a very unorthodox request to buy back the liquor license, we are not in the business of buying liquor license, but I would say that I would deny that request as well.
concur.
I concur.
Okay. License canceled. Thank you. Administrative matters. Wheelings Brattle LLC, doing business as Beef Brasserie, holder of entertainment license number 10125, has applied to add a DJ and comedy show to their existing license.
What's a grant?
Well, they already have a live with entertainment license, for the record.
Cinderella's Restaurant, 901 Main Street, holder of license number ACH03213, has turned in their alcohol license.
Board acknowledges license canceled.
Further discussion of the board's decision regarding the matter of Michael Gervais' non-renewal of his Hackney license. This matter is before the board again strictly to allow Commissioner Bard an opportunity to put his reasons on the record where he was not afforded the opportunity to get at the last hearing.
Yeah. So my reason was basically because of inconsistent testimony of Mr. Gervais. It his testimony varied greatly from that of Officer Zito and the complainants in both of the incidents as well as police reports, and also the nature of the complaints against Mr. Gervais. Both of them represented breaches of public safety or assaultive or insulting behavior. So those were my complete reasons for denying renewal for Mr. Gervais.
Thank you.
For Gervais.
And I did, although I said it, I don't know if it was heard, that the reasons I concurred with the commissioner back at our previous hearing, and I said that for the same reasons as we wrote on the statement of reasons that we had provided to him in the past.
Madam Chair, is Mr. Gervais not entitled to be present for this hearing?
This was just strictly, as you heard, for the commissioner to express his decision.
Wasn't that the purpose of the original hearing?
No, the purpose of the original hearing was to hear Mr. Gervais' appeal. Thank you.
He wasn't afforded the opportunity to respond to his comments.
Yes, he was.
He was not informed.
This is part of the vote.
He was not informed of today's hearing.
He does know of today's hearing.
For the record, I had a very lengthy conversation with Mr. Gervais this morning.
Only because I informed him that it was on the agenda.
He asked if he could be present, and he was told that he absolutely could be present.
He was not informed. I informed him of
this
hearing.
He has the opportunity to have a proper hearing where he has the ability to respond.
He had two hearings. He can appeal our decision. Thank you.
He didn't state the reasons.
He can appeal our decision. Yes, he did.
I started to state them, and it was interrupted by shouting, so I never got a chance to finish.
He wasn't shouting. I was present.
It got interrupted, you know, semantically.
That's not correct. You had the opportunity.
Did you
I was present, too, and he interrupted the commissioner numerous times.
Excuse me. I was present, too. Did you say that he was not afforded the opportunity to present the reasons? Because he was clearly afforded that opportunity. And I'm talking about the police commissioner. Clearly was afforded the opportunity at the previous hearing.
It's not a matter of whether I was afforded to. I didn't get to. I didn't do
it. You can't bifurcate the hearing. There's a purpose for the public hearing. He has the right to be there and to respond to your comments.
He doesn't have the right to respond to our voting when we're voting, Councilor.
What is the purpose of a hearing, then?
This was just for the purpose of the commissioner to fully express himself.
Because I asked for a statement of reasons, and you could not provide a statement of reasons.
A statement of reasons has not been written because
exactly.
We're busy with renewals.
That's
it has nothing to do with you.
Ms.
Courtney,
you could not provide
it's beautiful that you think that it all revolves around you, but
and
it really
I did not say
is.
That, but what I said is that you guys are having this hearing. It should be a problem.
And now you're being interrupted again.
This is exactly why we had the hearing today. Thank you.
You know that he has the right to be.
He has the right to be here, and he chose
no,
not
to. Have a public hearing.
He doesn't need. He had the right to have his public
when
hearing.
He
had twice.
When was he informed?
Counsel, not counselor.
Not yet.
Well, congratulations. We are not discussing this with you. We're moving on our agenda. Thank you.
When was he informed of the hearing?
We are not discussing this with you. Thank you. Go ahead.
IBD Limited, doing business as Darwin's Limited, holder of license number ACH10165, has applied for a one-day amendment to their existing license to close at 6 p.m. with a private event from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Sunday, December 10th, for less than 100 people.
Granted.
Zavu Inc., doing business as Yivu Za, holder of license number ACH01602, has applied to change their outdoor seating and standing capacity from 110 to 148 seats and 20 standing on private property.
Granted.
Cambridge Redevelopment Authority has granted permission for the following trucks to vend through the end of January 2018 at the corner of 3rd and Binney. Chicken and Rice Guys LLC on Monday, Phoenix Grill on Monday, May Street Kitchen on Wednesday, and just when I came downstairs for this hearing, I had an email from the Cambridge Redevelopment Authority. They also want to add Scheherazade Food on Thursdays.
How do we spell that?
I'll have to get it for you.
Scheherazade.
Scheherazade. Food. But I can confirm that later on.
Okay, so board acknowledges and grants it as to all three and also sure Harris at food? Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Approval of renewal submitted.
Okay, so we had two reports, IT ran two reports. We have 176, which we will incorporate in the minutes of liquor licensees that have submitted their renewals with the supporting documentation and their payments. So I would vote to approve.
Approve
these? Okay.
Yeah.
And then we have a list of 52 non-alcohol licensees that have submitted their renewals with the supporting documentation and also payments. So I would vote to approve these.
Request for extension of hours on New Year's Eve.
Okay, hold on a second. Who has the Scheherazade food one?
I don't care.
Okay. Did we spell right? Okay,
awesome.
Okay, so this one, I suggest we go one by one in terms of what they requested, and then I can record or vote here, and then we can just sign on top if we all concur. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, so Bondier at 279A Broadway, they have a current closing hour at 12:30. They want a 1 a.m. food, alcohol, and entertainment on New Year's Eve. Granted?
Granted.
Shanti at 7 Broad Canal Way, they have an 11 p.m. They want a 2 a.m. food, alcohol, and entertainment. Granted?
Granted.
Beat Hotel at 13 Brattle Street, they have a 1 a.m. They want a 2 a.m. food, alcohol, and entertainment. Granted?
Granted.
Auberon at 2 Arrow Street, they have a 1 a.m. and they want a 2 a.m. food, alcohol, and entertainment.
Granted.
John Harvard's Brew House, 33 Dunster Street, a 1 a.m. They want a 2 a.m. alcohol and a 4 a.m. food. Granted?
Granted.
Paradise at 180 Mass Ave, they have a 1 a.m., they want a 2 a.m. alcohol and a 4 a.m. entertainment. Granted. Dante, 40 Edwin Land Boulevard, they have a 1 a.m. and they want a 2 a.m. food, alcohol, and entertainment.
Granted.
Miracle of Science, 50 Foster Street, 1 a.m., they want 2 a.m. alcohol and 3 a.m. food and entertainment. Granted.
Granted.
Middlesex Lounge at 315 Mass Ave, they have a 1 a.m., they want a 2 a.m. alcohol and a 3 a.m. food and entertainment. Granted.
Granted.
Smoke Shop at 1 Kendall Square, they have a 1 a.m., they want a 2 a.m. alcohol and a 1:30 a.m. entertainment. Granted?
Granted.
Forage at 5 Gregory Circle, they have a 1 a.m., want a 2 a.m. food, alcohol, and entertainment. Granted?
Granted.
The Rising, 1172 Cambridge Street, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. alcohol, 3 a.m. food and entertainment. Granted?
Granted.
Beat Hotel, we already did it. The Phoenix Landing, 512 Mass Ave, they have a 2 a.m. and want a 3 a.m. food and a 4 a.m. entertainment. Granted?
Granted.
Lamplighter at 284 Broadway, they have a midnight and they want a 1 a.m. food, alcohol, and entertainment. Granted?
Granted.
Sumiao, at 273rd Street. They have a 12 a.m. They want a 2 a.m. food, alcohol, and entertainment granted. Filarmonica Santo Antonio, they want at 575 Cambridge Street. They have a 1 a.m., 1 and 2 a.m. food, alcohol, and entertainment granted. Sunset Cafe at 851 Cambridge Street have a 1 a.m. They want a 1:30 a.m. alcohol and entertainment and a 2 a.m. food granted.
Right.
Momi Nomni, 1128 Cambridge Street. They have a 9 p.m. and they're looking for a 1 a.m. food, alcohol, and entertainment granted.
Granted.
Filarmonica San Antonio here again. Sorry. Shanti at 7 Broad Canal Way. They have an 11 p.m. They want a 1 a.m. food, alcohol, and entertainment granted. Greek American Political Club at 288 Green Street have a 1 a.m. They want a 2 a.m. alcohol and a 3 a.m. food and entertainment granted. La Fabrica at 450 Mass Ave. They have a 1 a.m. They want a 2 a.m. alcohol and a 3 a.m. food and entertainment granted. Sinclair at 52 Church Street have a 1 a.m. They want a 2 a.m. food, alcohol, and entertainment granted. Oberon at 2 Arrow Street. They have a 1 a.m. They want a 2 a.m. food, alcohol, and entertainment granted. Waypoint at 1030 Mass Ave, they have a 1 a.m., they want a 2 a.m. food, alcohol, and entertainment granted. Alden and Harlow, 40 Brattle Street, they have a 1 a.m., they want a 2 a.m. food, alcohol, and entertainment granted. 730 Tavern Kitchen and Patio at 730 Mass Ave, they have a 1 a.m., they want a 2 a.m. alcohol, and entertainment granted. Cambridge Spirits, which is a package store, they usually close at 6 p.m. on Sundays, they want to close at 11 p.m. on Sunday, granted. Greek American Political Club. Did I already say this one? I feel like I did, but I'm 288 Green Street at 1. They have a 1 a.m. They want a 2 a.m. alcohol and a 3 a.m. food and entertainment granted. Grendel's Den, 89 Winthrop Street. They have a 1 a.m. They want a 2 a.m. alcohol and a 3 a.m. entertainment granted. Hostess Mexican Restaurant at 131 Sherman Street. They have a 1 a.m. They want a 2 a.m. alcohol and a 3 a.m. entertainment granted. Casa do Benifica. Danova Inglaterra, 178 Elm Street. They have a 10 p.m. and they're looking for a 2 a.m. alcohol and entertainment granted. Courtyard Boston, Cambridge at 777 Memorial Drive. Have a 1 a.m. They want a 2 a.m. alcohol and entertainment granted. Shepherd at 1 Shepherd Street. They have a 1 a.m. They want 2 a.m. alcohol, food, and entertainment granted. And Highland Fried, which I misspelled, I'm sorry. At 1271 Cambridge Street, they have a 1 a.m. and 1 a 2 a.m. alcohol and entertainment. Granted?
Granted. Administrative acknowledgments, changes, or corrections based on information submitted with renewal applications.
Okay. Deanta Corp. DBA Phoenix Landing at 512 Mass Ave, holder of an all-alcoholic common victualler with entertainment license, seeks to add to their already existing live with amplification entertainment, karaoke, comedy show, trivia, and six TVs, and remove one jukebox. Granted. Sunset Cafe Restaurant Inc., DBA Sunset Cafe at 851 Cambridge Street, holder of an all-alcoholic common victualler with entertainment license, seeks to add to their already existing live with amplification entertainment, five TVs. Granted. Cour Locom, DBA Plow and Stars at 912 Mass Ave, holder of an all-alcoholic common victualler with entertainment, seeks to add to already existing live with amplification entertainment trivia. Granted. Coleman Murray, Inc., The Field at 20 Prospect Street, holder of an all-alcoholic common victualler with entertainment, seeks to add to their already existing live with amplification entertainment, two TVs. Granted. Inman Exchange, DBA Ginger Exchange at 1287 Cambridge Street, holder of an all-alcoholic common victualler with entertainment license, seeks to add to their already existing live with amplification entertainment, three TVs. Granted. Cakewalk Bakers, Flower Bakery, 40 Erie Street, holder of a common victualler license confirms it has 20 outdoor seats and seasonal patio on private property, so board acknowledges. Sweet Cream Foods Inc., DBA Cafe Luna at 312 Main Street, holder of a wine, malt, and cordials common victualler with entertainment license, seeks to add to the already existing entertainment one TV and one jukebox. Granted. Greek American Political Club at 288 Green Street, holder of a common victualler all alcoholic beverage license with entertainment, seeks to add to the already existing life with amplification entertainment, a DJ and a one jukebox. Granted. Boston Tea Stop LLC, DBA Boston Tea Stop 54, JFK Street, holder of a common victor with entertainment license, seeks to add to their already existing amusement device category one video game for a total of two video games. Granted. Harvest 2000 LLC, DBA The Harvest, 44 Brattle Street, holder of a common victor with all alcoholic beverage license with entertainment, seeks to add one TV for a total of two TVs. Granted. La Fabrica Central LLC, DBA La Fabrica, 450 Mass Ave, holder of a common victor, all alcoholic beverage with entertainment license, seeks to add to their already existing live with amplification, entertainment, trivia, and magic show. Granted. Classic Restaurant Concepts, DBA The Asgard at 350 Mass Ave, holder of a common victor, all alcoholic beverage license with entertainment, seeks to add to their already existing live with amplification, entertainment, one TV, trivia, DJ, reading, support, in other words, and karaoke. Granted. Cambridge Deli and Grill, DBA Cambridge Deli and Grill at 90 River Street, holder of a common victor with entertainment license, seeks to add one TV. Granted. The Rule Kebab Inc., DBA The Rule Kebab at 2070 Mass Ave, holder of a common victor with entertainment, seeks to add three TVs for a total of six TVs. Granted.
Granted.
Cafe Zing, DBA Cafe Zing, 25 White Street, holder of a common victor with entertainment, confirms it has eight seats on outdoor seasonal patio. Board acknowledges.
Acknowledges.
Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT Dining, DBA The Muddy Charles at 142 Memorial Drive, holder of an educational malt and wine with entertainment license, seeks to add one TV for a total of two TVs. Granted.
Granted.
Swami Pramukh, DBA Subway, 4 Central Square, holder of a common victor with entertainment, seeks to add one TV for a total of two TVs. Granted.
Granted.
Garden Street Inc., DBA The Rising, 1172 Cambridge Street, holder of a common victor, all alcoholic beverages license with entertainment, seeks to add to their already existing live entertainment trivia and reduce the number of TVs from 8 to 6. Granted.
Granted.
Elsor Corporation, DBA Newtown Grill and Steakhouse, 1945 Mass Ave, holder of a common victular, all alcoholic beverage license, seeks to add trivia and four video games for a total of six video games. Granted.
Granted.
Nuki LLC, DBA The Commonwealth, 250 Kendall Street, holder of a common victular, all alcoholic beverage with entertainment license, has removed darts from its entertainment. Board acknowledges. DMG Food Enterprises LLC, DBA 730 Tavern Kitchen and Patio, 730 Mass Ave, holder of a common victor, all alcoholic beverages with entertainment license, seeks to add to their already existing live music with amplification, entertainment, comedy show, dancing by patrons, karaoke, live acoustical music, and six TVs for a total of 13 TVs. Granted.
Granted.
Cambridge Brewing Company, DBA Cambridge Brewing Company, 1 Kendall Square, Cambridge, holder of a common victor, all alcoholic beverages with entertainment license, seeks to add one TV for a total of two TVs. Granted.
Granted.
Patty's Lunch Inc., DBA Patty's Lunch, 260 Walden Street, holder of a common victor, all alcoholic beverages with entertainment license, seeks to add two dartboards. Granted.
Granted.
Greek American Political Club of Massachusetts, DBA Greek American Political Club, 288 Green Street, holder of an all alcoholic common victor with entertainment license, seeks to add to their already existing live music with amplification, entertainment, a DJ, and one jukebox. Granted.
Granted.
Corazon Inc., DBA Green Street, 280 Green Street, holder of an all-alcoholic common victor with entertainment license, seeks to reduce the number of TVs on the premise from 2 to 1. Granted. Sonesta International Hotels Corp., DBA Royal Sonesta, 40 Edwin Land Boulevard, holder of an in-holder all-alcoholic beverages with entertainment license, seeks to add to their already existing live music with amplification, entertainment, and DJ. Granted. Sulmona Restaurant Group LLC, DBA Sulmona Restaurant, 610 Main Street North, holder of an all-alcoholic common victor with entertainment license, seeks to add to their already existing live music with amplification, entertainment, comedy show. Granted. And Orange Blossom Inc., DBA Highland Fry, 1271 Cambridge Street, holder of an all-alcoholic common victor with entertainment license, seeks to add one jukebox, one pool table, and one video game, and remove music above conversational level. Granted.
Granted.
Consideration of a one business day grace period until December 1st, 2017 at 12 p.m. to complete alcohol renewals.
So I think, you know, based on the fact that this is a new system and also for the process to be approved, there has to be submission and then approval and then the people have to log back in. And I know that boards across the state do the one grace period, so I think we should do it as well in consideration of our licensees.
Good. I agree.
Okay, granted.
Mark Schulman, on behalf of Patty Chen's Dumpling Room, has advised the License Commission that they have closed at their current location due to construction. It is their intention to reopen at a new location in the summer of 2018.
Would acknowledge this.
Cheesecake Factory Incorporated is requesting a change in hours to open at 10 a.m. on Saturdays, which they believe they originally were approved for, as they open at 10 a.m. on Sundays.
Well, they weren't, because I looked at the record based on that, the way that that was written on the agenda. So, but I would vote to grant.
They actually have the application on the one-day application. Erica Gauthier has applied for a malt and wine license.
I'm sorry, Ms. Flynn, before you continue. I think they were in the list of what I just read for changes, but I know some people submitted their requests for changes based on the renewal, so I'm just going to go through these just in case we didn't do them. Harvest, they're going from one television to two televisions, granted. Phoenix Landing, we did,
yeah.
I remember. And Philharmonica Sant Antonio,
we did
that
one.
Okay. These are already voted on. Okay, thank you. Go ahead, sorry.
No problem. Eric Gauthier, Malt and Wine License at Novartis, 181 Mass Ave, on December 7th from 4 to 7 p.m. for a reception with 1,000 expected.
Granted.
Erica Gauthier at Novartis, 250 Mass Ave, on 12-8 from 5 p.m. to 7:30 for a reception with 100 expected.
Granted.
William Fuller has applied for a malt and wine license at Harvard Campus, Maxwell Dwarf and Lobby, Oxford Street, on December 1st from 4:30 to 7 for a holiday reception, 300 expected.
Granted. Police detail required.
Ed O'Connor has applied for a malt with entertainment license at Pro Park parking lot, 41 Church Street, on December 10th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. for a Cambridge 5K Yule Fest with dancing, music, amplification system, 4,000 expected.
Alcohol must be sold or a limited number of alcoholic drinks must be associated with the admission charge and police detail. Granted.
Charles James, on behalf of Crimson Bikes, has applied for a malt and wine license to be exercised at 1001 Mass Ave on November 30th from 6 to 11 p.m. for a party with 150 expected. I know you had a question about that. I did contact him. He didn't even know what I was talking about, beer trucks.
Okay, so we got a call from Steve LaRosa from Traffic and Parking saying that Mr. James was requesting some parking permits for some beer trucks for this event. The application that they gave us did not make that clear, and it looked like everything was inside the business of Crimson Bikes. And I think what you're saying is that you confirmed that it's in red. Okay.
Possible that it was the beer supplier contract?
It could be the beer supplier that wanted the parking spots.
Very well could be, and that could
you
have been.
Just want to put the vehicle
confusion
out there for sign, basically for signage
purposes. And for transportation as well.
Yeah.
Just for a clarification, how many are in expected attendance?
150.
Okay.
Okay, so granted.
Claudia Chen has applied for an entertainment license at MIT, 48 Mass Ave, on December 7th from 8 to 10 p.m., December 8th from 7 to 12 a.m., 7 p.m. to 12 a.m., and December 9th from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. for dance performances with dancing, amplified music, and 120 people expected.
Granted.
Right.
Jeff Kaufman, on behalf of Boston Intergenerational Dance Advocates, has applied for an entertainment license to be exercised with Cambridge Masonic Hall, 1950 Mass Ave, on December 3rd and December 17th from 6 to 11 p.m. for a social dance with dancing, amplified music, and 110 people expected.
Granted.
Trey Johns has applied for an entertainment license at Harvard Law School, Milstein West Holmes Hall, 18 Everett Street, on December 9th from 6 to 10 p.m. for a banquet and awards event with dancing, 110 expected.
Granted.
Latonya Smith Winston has applied for a vendor's license at MIT Stratton Student Center, 84 Math Ave, on December 20th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. to sell dresses, tops, pants, and jewelry.
Branson.
Diana Munn has applied for a malt and wine license at 26 Oxford Street, Harvard University, on December 1st from 6 to 9 p.m. for a wine tasting with 150 expected.
Granted, and there has to be a limited number of alcoholic drinks associated with the admission charge. And I usually I also say or sold, but they actually wrote that they would, in their application they said that it will be part of the ticket fee, but I just want to confirm that.
Jeffrey Fitzgerald has applied for a wine and malt license at MIT Museum, first floor, 265 Mass Ave, on December 1st from 6 to 9:30 p.m. for a dinner and reception, 65 expected.
Branson.
Jen Fields, on behalf of Alden and Harlow, has applied for an entertainment license at 46 Brattle Street on January 14th, 2018, from 6 p.m. to 12:30 a.m. for a wedding.
Branson.
Michael Feeney, on behalf of, this application is withdrawn.
Okay, yeah, because they have a pending application on that, so, and I see his email here that they withdrew, great.
Jin Lowe has applied for an entertainment license December 13th to 14th from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. at MIT Sala de Puerto Rico for an Asian dance showcase.
Granted, good job on that.
I'm working on it. Audrey McGuero, on behalf of Kumba Singers, has applied for vendor's permits on December 1st and 2nd from 8 p.m. until 11:59 p.m. at Memorial Church.
Branson.
What do you mean by Memorial Church? In Harvard Yard?
I believe it's in New York. Edison Arrigo has applied for a one-day wine and malt and entertainment license for dancing and music, December 2nd from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. at Adams House.
Grant the police detail and alcohol must be sold or a limited number of alcoholic drinks associated with the admission charge.
Granted.
Nicholas Cologne has applied for a one-day entertainment license on December 4th from 8 to 11 p.m. at Lowell House with 300 expected.
Grant the police detail.
And then you have the add-on list.
So, Bowl House, it's not alcohol, strictly entertainment.
It's just entertainment. Yep. Rebecca Howe has applied for a one-day entertainment license on December 3rd at Fong Auditorium from 5:30 to 8:30 for a performance with music and amplification system, 80 expected.
Granton.
Nancy Kasarjan, on behalf of the Holy Trinity Armenian Apostolic Church, 145 Brattle Street, has applied for a one-day wine and malt license on December 1st from 12 p.m. until 9 p.m. and December 2nd from 10 a.m. until 7 p.m.
Granted.
Diana Bell has applied for a wine and malt license on December 2nd from 5:30 to 10 p.m. at 77 Mass Ave for a dinner with 120 expected.
Granted.
Nelson Evarites, on behalf of Massasoit Lodge, 55 Bishop Allen Drive, has applied for a one-day entertainment license on December 2nd from 7 p.m. until 11 p.m. for amplified music and a floor show, and on December 6th from 10 p.m. to 1:30 a.m. for amplified music and dancing.
And December 9th, actually.
9th? Okay.
And the one on December 9th is from 10:30 p.m. to 1:30 a.m.
So three?
So we have... So
two.
So I have one here from
the entertainment staff at 10:30.
Nelson Everette, and he wants for December 2nd from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m.
Right.
Then the next one is December 9th from 10 p.m. to 1:30 a.m.
Okay.
So granted, two votes.
Isaac Metcalf, on behalf of the Gilbert and Sullivan Players, has applied for entertainment license on December 1st and 2nd at 8 p.m., December 3rd at 2 p.m., December 7th and 8th at 8 p.m., December 9th at 2 p.m. for theater performances that last approximately 2 hours. Christy Loftus, on behalf of Breakthrough Greater Boston, has applied for a one-day wine and malt license on December 7th at 400 Tech Square from 5:30 to 9 for a speaker's forum, with 150 expected.
Granted, an alcoholic drink must be sold or a limited number of drinks associated with the admission charge.
Is there a detail required?
Nope, not according to Sergeant Kale.
And that is all I have. You have minutes?
Mm-hmm. Take a second. Okay. I have some minutes to approve. So the minutes of October 18th, 2017, approved. John Hancock there, that'd be great. And then the minutes of November 1st, approved. And the minutes of November 15th, approved. And we will have hopefully all of the remaining liquor rules to approve at that time. And I believe ISC should have their approvals to us by the end of this week, hopefully.
Just from looking through the records, it looks like there's been a lot of reviews and approvals.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.